I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you from the book of Joshua about leadership tonight. I know that maybe not everybody thinks that they're a leader, but you all perhaps will be or are in some way, shape, or form. You may not realize it. Leader is anyone really that can influence people in a certain specific direction. Obviously, you can influence people to right or wrong. And whether it's a leader in your home, or maybe you're a leader at work or your job or in the ministry, now there's some principles that kind of just jotted down from Joshua. Been reading through, I told our teachers Monday, I've been reading through some things in Joshua and just thinking about some things, and I hope it's a blessing to you tonight. You know, Joshua, I've always thought about him, just the first beginning of the book, Joshua chapter 1. I look at verse number 2. The Lord just was speaking to Joshua and said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." How'd you like that to be the first thing that you had to hear about when you became the leader now over the children of Israel? And the Lord says, "Well, Moses is dead. Wake up, buddy. It's your turn. And it's time to just grab things by the reins or whatever and to get the job done." And Joshua, to me, has always been an interesting character, one who took that leadership role and one who followed what the Lord had him to do. And now it's his job to take them into the land of promise that they would kind of wander around the wilderness for a while because they rejected the Lord and didn't believe him. And then now Joshua is taking this next generation back in. Just wanted to read a few things here as we begin about why Joshua just... Of course, you could write down hundreds of things, perhaps. I just wrote down three simple things of why Joshua can be viewed as a successful leader. Why he was perhaps a successful leader. You know, I just begin reading here in chapter 1, down in verse number 8. Well, verse 7. "Only be thou strong," very familiar verses here, "and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Why was Joshua a successful leader? I want to talk about that for a few minutes tonight. Then verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. The Lord is with you whithersoever you go." The first thing I want to talk about is that Joshua obeyed God exactly. We're going to look at some passages here tonight. He obeyed God exactly. What God said to do, he did it like to the T, exactly. And it really stems from verse number 8 at the very beginning when the Lord said, "If the word of God is not going to depart out of your mouth, and you're going to meditate in it day and night, and then in verse number 7, you don't turn to the right or the left, then you're going to have good success in what I've called you to do." So with the word of God in his mind, he then did what God told him to do. It starts right in verse number 10. This is kind of the first time we see Joshua. Now Moses is dead, and Joshua is taking up what he's supposed to tell the people to do. So in verse 10, he just commands the officers of the people, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare victuals," or food. Maybe that's some of our favorite thing to do there. We're going to prepare some food. "For within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan." And then notice over in chapter 3, verse number 2. "And it came to pass after 3 days." You know, sometimes I think it's interesting, you know, it kind of hit me as I was going through some of these things. Why do we have some of the things in the Bible that we have in the Bible? Are they just in there by random thought and chance and things? Why did the Lord say in verse 11, he wanted us to know that Joshua told the people that in 3 days we're going to get ready to go. And then in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "And after 3 days, they basically did what Joshua said to do." You see Joshua giving commands and then sticking to it, telling the people what we're going to do and then going for it. Giving them the time to prepare, because he was obviously wise in his leadership, giving them the time to prepare and then executing what he said he was going to do. And he also gave very clear instructions. I mean, look at verse number 3 of chapter 3. "They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure," which is roughly 3,000 feet for us American people. "About 2,000 cubits by measure they were supposed to stay away from it. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." Where did he get some of that from? From the law and from Moses. Don't just walk up to the ark like, "Hey, there's the ark, let's go check it out." No, he knew what the Lord wanted him to do that was right, so he started giving clear instructions. "You're going to stay here, and you're going to do this, and you're going to prepare for 3 days, and then we're going to do this." He was taking his leadership role and executing things very clearly. Then look down in verse number 9. We're going to look at a lot of passages tonight. Chapter 3, verse 9. "Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of" who? of Joshua? Of what I want you to do? No, hear the words of the Lord your God. I'm not going to read all of this, but go down to verse number 12. Again, he's just repeating what God has already told him to do. In other words, is Joshua going to exactly obey what God said? Behold, the Ark of the Covenant, verse 11, passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take ye 12 men, verse 12, out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man a tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests to bear the Ark of the Lord shall rest on the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan will be cut off from the waters. Basically, the waters are going to separate. Now, I've always thought it would be interesting, because then you see down in verse number 14, here comes the priests, and verse 15, as they bear the Ark, they were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. So, they're putting their foot down right to the brim of the water. And as soon as they put it on the brim of the water, verse 16, the waters stood up. Then we read over there in verse number 17 that the people all passed through the midst of the Jordan on dry land. Now again, Joshua in verse 9 repeated to the people in verses 9 through 13 what the Lord said to do. And then Joshua did exactly what God told Joshua to do. And he was leading the people through what God said to do, not what he wanted them to do. Now, can you imagine? Now, I've always thought it'd been kind of neat to be that priest and be like, you know, they had to have some faith. The Jordan is kind of murky water. I'm going to put my foot down and, I got these sandals here and man, I sure don't want any weird parasites to get up in my toes and start growing something. I really don't want to walk in this water and then step my feet in these mud. I'm like, no, they just started walking and boom, they were on dry ground. That to me would be one of the neatest things ever. Maybe God will let us, I don't know. I get this wishful thinking. It'd be neat to go back in time when we're in heaven and look at what happened. I don't know that God's going to do that because that's probably going to be the last thing on our minds when we see Him. But they just walked and I'd love to know what was going on in their minds. Boy, I hope Joshua knows what he's doing. You know, we're not going to get stuck in the mud and quicksand and drown over here. But they did it, and guess what? Because they did exactly what God said, then God did what He said He would do. Joshua here giving very clear instructions. He told them, this is what God wants us to do. We're going to do it. We're going to follow it God's way. So his leadership was successful because he obeyed God's way. Look at chapter 4, verse number 1. There's more things. We're not going to read all of this. But basically, he said, again, look at verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, now Joshua, here's what you're going to do, verse 2, you're going to get 12 men, and they're all going to grab a stone from the one side of Jordan. They're going to basically walk into the Jordan. They're going to put the stone from that side in the riverbed. They're going to pick up a new stone, and they're going to carry the new stone to the other side, and they're going to make a monument, a memorial. And the Lord gave very exact instructions of what they were to do. And so what do you think Joshua did in the rest of, we don't have time to read all those verses. What do you think he did? He did exactly what the Lord had said to do. Lord, this is weird. Why do we have to do that? Well, again, leadership, when the Lord says this is the way to do it, and this is the right way to do it, and this is God's way to do it, we don't question it, we do it. Again, whether it's leadership in the home, whether it's leadership in your place of ministry, whether it's leadership at your job, we need to learn to do things God's way, and that's when God blesses. So He set the stones up and those things in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and God had a reason for it. They may not have understood it, but then we see in verse number 6 that, you know, that way when the children ask you, what does that pile of rocks over there mean? What is that pile of stones? What's that memorial right there for? That you will tell them that the Lord did this for us. Let me talk about it with you. Let me explain to you what God did. And so doing it God's way, maybe it didn't make much sense. Well, why do we have to be so picky about 12 men? And they had to pick up this rock and they had to put it in the riverbed. And then the river water closed over that one, but took another one out and put it on the other side. Well, this is just tedious and laborious. But he did it God's way. He did it God's way, followed it to the T. Chapter 5, verse number 2. To me, I just love the way the Bible's worded sometimes. Again, sometimes you just read through things and why is it there? Look at verse 2 of chapter 5. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise the children of Israel the second time. Look at verse 3. And Joshua made him what? Sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the Hill of Foreskins at Gilgal. What the Lord said to do, and I just think it just kind of caught my attention. What God said to do in verse 2, Joshua did the exact thing in verse number 3. He just did exactly what the Lord said. I mean, the wording is almost identical, right? Hey, Joshua, make a sharp knife. What did he do? He went and made a sharp knife. He didn't make a knife the way he wanted. He didn't do things that he, well, Lord, I got a better way. I got a better way to do this. No, he did it God's way. When the Lord said to make the sharp knives and do this, he made the sharp knives and did this. He followed God's way. Look at verse 13 as we close this section. He obeyed God and did exactly what God said. And then in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, notice what happens. He comes face to face with the captain, verse 15, of the Lord's host. And he said, loose your shoe from off your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua, what? Did so. Because Joshua, as a leader, was used to obeying God. When he came face to face with the captain of the Lord's host, and when he came face to face with a spiritual thing of the holiness of God, he just immediately obeyed. He didn't even question, why do I got to take my shoe off? What's the big deal? He was used to obeying. This is holy ground. And he just did what God said to do. That just stood out to me when I, just in the first five chapters of the book, Joshua was a man of obedience. And he wanted to lead the people, but lead them God's way. And when he did that, he was in the position to be on this holy ground, to understand and know even the holiness of God. You know, God meets in holiness with those who obey. You're not going to know anything about the holiness of God if you're too busy doing your own thing, going your own way, making your own rules, living life what you want to do. That's not going to take you to the holiness of God. But meditating in God's Word and obeying God will. Our time's almost gone, but let's just quickly look at a couple other things about his success in leadership. That's the main one. He's obedient. Second one, one of those things that, why did God put that in the Bible? Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. And Joshua, now this is when the Lord says, we're about ready to pass over the Jordan River. He's got a big day coming. We're going to pass over the Jordan. Chapter 3, verse 1, what did Joshua do? Joshua rose early in the morning. You ever think, well, why did God have to tell us that? Look over in chapter 6, verse number 12. This is when they're going around Jericho, and they're fixing to just do the big old march, and it's going to come tumbling down. It's going to take care of stuff. Look at verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they all rose early at the dawning of the day. The repeating of that just kind of caught my attention. Basically, what I took from that was that Joshua was a man who understood what it takes to get the job done. He had a work ethic that if I have to get up early because I've got a lot to do for the Lord today, he rose. Now, you may think that's trivial, but it seemed to me that the Lord puts that in the Bible for a reason. Go to chapter 8, verse 10. Flip over another page. This is before they got whipped by Ai, and now they're going back to take Ai, and they got a big ambush plan. Look at verse 10. Well, go back to verse 9 at the end. Joshua lodged that night among the people. He didn't sit off somewhere all high and mighty. He actually stayed among the people, verse 10. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people. And well, there's four times that God had to tell us that Joshua rose up early. Maybe he was trying to convict me of wanting to sleep in or, you know, wanting to get those few extra. Oh, the alarm went off. Where's that snooze button? Man, I just, you know. He knew that the job had to get done. Sometimes you got to get up. That may seem trivial, but you've got to get up and do what God has called you to do. Even something as practical as getting up early and doing. He had a good work ethic. That's why he is successful as a leader. He put the time in that was required for leadership. And then lastly, one last little point. Again, there's hundreds of things we could probably look at. We're there in chapter 8. Go to the end of the chapter. I know I've talked about a million miles an hour. I've packed a 30-minute message into 15. Chapter 8, verse number 30. This is at the end. Well, another reason why he was a good leader, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but in verse 32, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses. And then you know what he did? He had everybody stand on one side or the other, and he read off all the blessings and cursings of the law. Another reason why he was a successful leader was because he honored God and his word reverently. Built an altar to God and said, Lord, this is because of you. And I want you to notice something real quick. Again, we just kind of gloss over things. Look at verse 31. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift upon any iron. Why in the world did God put that in the Bible? Because back in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 5 and 6, we don't have time to look there. it's actually told how they were to build an altar, that they couldn't cut the stones. They couldn't put iron upon them. It had to be whole stones. You think, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is that Joshua knew God's word and followed it. He was going to worship God, but he did it God's way. That's leadership. Well, Joshua, we just had this big battle, and you're going to make us go. Can't we just cut these other stones and just set a goal? Well, can't we just do some shortcuts here? We'll make God will understand. We'll make an altar. He won't care. Leadership said, we're going to do it God's way. We're not going to put an iron on it. We're going to do things the way that God told Moses from the law. Because way back in chapter 1, God said, you want to have success? Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Follow the word of God. You know, Joshua heeded what God had said. He heeded chapter 1, verse numbers 7 through 9. He wasn't afraid. He meditated in the law of God, and God made his way prosperous. And God brought success to the children of Israel as they took that land and came in. You know, what is our mindset of leadership? As we go out into our lives on a daily basis and the things that God's called us to do and the places he's called us to lead, are we going to do it our way or are we going to do it God's way? God's way requires obedience. God's way requires a work ethic, hard work, getting up early, putting time in. And God's way requires reverence and honor to God and his word. And I pray that we can live that life for our Lord as well. Father, thank you so much for the testimony of Joshua, a very faithful man in the scriptures, a man who knew the responsibilities of leadership, a man who worked hard, a man who honored your word. Father, when we don't honor your word, we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. When we try to go to the left or to the right and try to bring in our own ideas or our own things, then that's leadership that leads to failure. Father, I pray you'd help us to do what is right and to continually keep your word before us, to honor you in all things, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you tonight.